2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon. Listen on the KSL News Radio app.
Brought to you by PC Laptops.
And in your car at 102.7 FM.
Good morning, KSL News Time now, 7:30.
60 degrees.
Got some slowing on I-15 starting to creep in. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
KSL's top story this hour.
Utah's wildfire season was a lot milder than other years, and so the cost to fight fires actually went down. But officials say we're not done yet.
KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is live with more. Mary?
Amanda, the fires near Park City and Farmington were very scary for those residents, but many other fires were far away from homes and people this year. And the Division of Forestry, Fire and State Land says the number of human-caused wildfires dropped by two-thirds in July and August. So the Tribune says there is a surplus of up to $22 million in the firefighting budget. We aren't out of danger yet this year because the state is still in a drought. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
Several monsoon rains have helped Utah's water supply just slightly. However, a drought is still gripping the state. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly is live with the details. Heather?
Well, Tim, reservoirs across Utah are less than 40% full. That's from state officials who say our water future is uncertain in the face of long-term drought and climate change. The director of Utah's Division of Water Resources, Candace Hasenjager, tells the Salt Lake Tribune, in July, the entire state was in extreme or exceptional drought. Now, 88% of the state is. The continued threat of the drought has some on the Water Development Commission proposing Utah build more reservoirs or divert water from agriculture sources. They say subdivisions and shopping malls use less water than farmland. Live, Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. Remnants of Hurricane Nicholas are still soaking Louisiana after knocking out power to more than a half a million people in Texas. In Galveston, Denise Passingham lost her roof.
It was just howling like the craziest howl I've never heard in my entire life. It was like a tornado that lasted for 7 hours.
Winds of up to 95 miles an hour toppled trees and tore many homes apart.
President Biden's approval rating has dipped into negative territory for the first time since becoming president.
A Quinnipiac poll showing just 42% of Americans approving of the job President Biden's doing, with 50% disapproving. Americans nearly evenly split on how he's handled COVID, but that's down from 53% approving and only 40% disapproving in August. Only one-third of those polled think he's doing a good job in foreign affairs, the president also getting weak ratings on the economy.
ABC's Andy Field reporting.
Afghanistan in turmoil.
U.S. Central Command is investigating a strike on the suspected ISIS-K operative. The New York Times claims that person was actually a U.S. aid worker. Here's ABC's chief global affairs correspondent Martha Raddatz with details.
For more than 8 hours, a drone tracked a car officials believed had linked up with ISIS. Officials say when the driver loaded the vehicle with what they thought were explosives, a Hellfire missile was launched.
We had very good intelligence that ISIS-K was preparing a specific type vehicle at a specific type location.
But a New York Times investigation using surveillance video and interviews calls the strike into question.
The U.S. does not have investigators on the ground in Kabul, and the Pentagon continues to insist this strike was justified.
North Korea is testing new long-range missiles. ABC's Inez de la Cotera has more now from the foreign desk.
South Korea's defense ministry confirming North Korea tested two ballistic missiles, which landed outside of Japan's maritime border. Intelligence officers are now gathering more details for analysis, and South Korean President Moon plans to hold a National Security Council meeting this afternoon. This is the second time this week North Korea has fired missiles. Inez de la Cotera, ABC News, at the foreign desk.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.